If last year was a Rushman renaissance, what's next for the Ohio State defensive line? That's Bill Landis. I am Austin Ward. This is the Podcast Daily, and our spring position previews are heading on to complete the defense up front, maybe the most important of the bunch, and Larry Johnson sticking around to coach them. Got a new two-year contract. JT Tuimoloa sticking around to be part of it. Jack Sawyer sticking around to be part of it. Tyleek Williams sticking around to be part of it. Ty Hamilton sticking around to be part of it. That seems pretty good.
That's it. That's the show.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk to
you
later.
That's the preview.
I was trying to think of an alliterative description for this coming season that involves Rushman. Because I like Rushman Renaissance.
Yeah.
It was Rushman. Yeah.
And it's not a reload. It's not a rebirth. And we're not going to talk about reloading the clip. We'll leave that for the Buckeyes
themselves. Hashtag reload the clip. Yeah. So. They're going to be really good. We'll talk about the depth in a second, but like the front four of this defensive line group, I think has the chance to be, you know, do I want to say the best I've, I'm talking collectively because I know there's been some standout individuals. Maybe the best since what, 2017?
17 is the group that comes to mind for
me. Yeah. So
I would say even like, that one was renowned for the four-man rotation at end.
At end, not necessarily tackle.
And right? I feel like there's...
there's more balance here?
Yeah, it might be more balanced across the board. Now, the heights that were reached by those ends probably won't statistically be matched by JT and Jack.
I think that's right. Yeah, but I'm just talking about like the presence of the defensive line, like collectively, I think has a chance to be about as good as we've seen here. Now, and that involves like... maybe Ty Hamilton making a little bit more of a jump because he's been a very solid player, like high floor, maybe not necessarily like super high ceiling kind of player, but I think there's a chance for him to get better, and that might determine kind of what we're talking about. But to have those four come back and kind of set the tone and give you the base for what your defensive line is going to be, it's incredible for Ohio State. And I think when I think of that group, I think mostly of like Jack Sawyer and just how well he played in the second half of the season against the run in the pass, and then we saw him kind of really have a coming out party against Missouri, which had a pretty good offensive line. Like that wasn't Jack Sawyer beating up an offensive line that had struggled all year. That was Jack Sawyer playing pretty well against an offensive line that I think was a semifinalist for the Joe Moore Award, right? They were pretty well regarded.
I remember you looked up the stat in the middle of the game. You're like, this Missouri offensive line has only given up 1.6 sacks a game, and Jack Sawyer had three.
Yeah, and I felt like he could have had more. I felt like he had seven in that game with how much he was in the backfield. So I'm really interested in now where that takes him. And maybe that's more of a summer camp and fall conversation than it is a spring one, because I don't know maybe how much the whole group we're talking about is going to play this spring. It's guys that have played a ton of snaps, especially Jack, JT, and Tyleek played a bunch of snaps last year. But I think all four probably get that veteran treatment, and the spring will be more about the young guys behind them. So I guess now's the time to mention that four is awesome. They're going to be really good, but maybe spring is more about who's behind them.
Yeah, you don't want to push them. You want to make sure that those guys are as fresh as possible to get ready for the season. When you know that you're going to rely on them, you know that you can get that productivity. I do think they need to do something because neither one is fully there. You would like to take the second half of Jack Sawyer's season. You certainly want to extend that over the course of the year. The first half probably with JT was more productive than the second half. And I don't really know why. I think it'll be interesting to talk to both of those guys. Jack has talked about this more extensively. He had three availabilities during December and for the Cotton Bowl.
He was his team spokesman.
So he had a lot of, he has already weighed in on that and how he can carry that forward. And JT was really thinking about his decision and carrying that into January. So he wasn't out doing a lot of media and talking about, you know, what he could have done better, what he wants to do better. And there will be opportunities to do that, I think, probably pretty soon. But so they're not, I don't think either one, going to want to take March and April entirely off, because part of their motivation for coming back is certainly to win a championship and beat Michigan, but also to solidify status as a first-round pick. So given that level of work ethic and maintaining a standard, they'll want to do things. But Ohio State has to bring along that depth, Bill, and that's for that specific position. You're talking about Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson.
Yeah, two guys who I think in the end did not play as much as I thought they were going to last year. And part of that's like philosophical shift in how much they rotate. Part of it is like Jack and JT were just playing really well for much of the season. So I kind of get that. I wish you would have seen a little more. I still think very highly of both of them. I think they're both capable of supplementing what you're going to get from Jack and JT, which I think could be like, you know, borderline kind of star level defensive end play, whatever that means to you. But you need the depth there. You need the depth at tackle. Tackle is the one that's a little, it's not worrisome. It's just, you know, it's less clear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like if they played a game tomorrow, who's their third defensive tackle?
It would probably be Hero Canoe.
Yeah.
But that answer may well change by April 13th.
Yeah, it could, which I think is actually a good thing for Ohio State because that means it's a competitive situation. But it's like it's Hero Canoe, it's Tywo Malone, Katie McDonald, I guess, right? Those are the three who played at least a little bit last year. There's younger, like Jason Moore, I think is an interesting guy. Vic Mensa, he's not here, is he? I can't recall. Yeah, he's not here. Jason Moore, I think, is an interesting guy in the spring, like quintessential Larry Johnson sort of three tech. Got a year under your belt. There's snaps available. Like, what are you going to do with that opportunity ahead of you? I think makes him an interesting guy to follow. But I think you need to see a big jump from Hero Canoe. You need to see a big jump from Tywo Malone. I thought he was going to play a decent amount last year, and he really didn't. And then I know we heard a lot about Caden McDonald and what he was doing in practice, but that never really manifested much in the way of meaningful game reps. A couple here or there, a star turn on the offense in the Cotton Bowl, which is a little bit surprising. But I think that tells you what they think of him, right, to put him in a spot like that. So there's guys that they like and guys that I like, but, you know, not guys that have played a ton, and you certainly need more than two defensive tackles to do what Ohio State wants to do this year.
They could have picked anybody to try and, you know, operate that fullback look that they were using in the Cotton Bowl. They chose Caden McDonald for a reason. It was just a couple plays, and I think, you know, maybe not perfect, but the effort was – certainly you couldn't blame it.
You like stood up and gasped at one of the blocks.
The second one, it was like, I remember after the game, Berm was like, "Ooh, that looked kind of ugly." And I'm like, "What?" I was blown away by it. It was like, cause he may have missed the first block. He turned around and like dove to get a second piece. And like, anyway, so I will not ever forget it. Like that was the play. We can forget about a lot of the Cotton Bowl. I won't forget that effort from Caden McDonald. That's the part that sticks in my mind. That's what I heard about. A lot of the practice habits, work ethic for him. You know, you don't expect the world from somebody that close to the football in year one. And to think like when people were starting to buzz about that in October that he was going to help down the stretch. I mean, that's not usually how it works. But by the Cotton Bowl, I mean, get this guy on the field. It turned out to be on offense more than playing in the trenches. But I do think that's a sign of what the coaching staff believes about him athletically. And we have certainly seen plenty of examples of Larry Johnson getting guys to take a significant step forward with 1 year under their belt and going into the second. That's not always the timeline, but when I say maybe by the middle of April, and everyone knows how highly I think of Hero Canoe, he's the first person that comes to my mind. Like maybe these 15 practices change something in that dynamic, and maybe it'll happen for both of them, which again is nothing but a bonus for the Buckeyes.
Hero's got the goods, I think. I was like obsessed with a play that he made in the Wisconsin game last year. I asked like four different people questions about it. I was like, "What are you like? There are more important things happening here." And I was like fixated on a one Hero Canoe play.
Are we just becoming like defensive tackle like aficionados?
I think so. Okay, appreciators. Right. We're defensive tackle appreciators. I think there could be like a different kind of like style from the defensive line group this year too. I don't mean this to come off pejoratively, but I think a lot of the most successful defensive tackles here have been like speed kind of finesse players, like more like interior pass rushers. And I think they'll have that element this year. But when I think of like the size and speed combination of Tyleek Williams and then like Hero Canoe at 6'5", like 305, 310, Caden McDonald, I think is similarly built to Tyleek Williams, probably even more, or even lower, I guess, center of gravity. He's not quite as tall as Tyleek is. And then Ty Hamilton also is kind of like a brute strength guy. Like I think that there is a physicality with this defensive tackle group, potentially, that could be noticeable and I think a good thing for Ohio State, but perhaps maybe a little bit different than what we've come to expect from the position under Larry Johnson.
Yeah, it's not a Draymond Jones necessarily, although he's maybe Garrett closer to that. Like moving Jayshon Cornell to three technique and letting a true pass rusher go at it. That used to be like the hallmark. Who's Larry going to move to three technique? Who's going to unlock their potential for the next level? And that doesn't seem to be really the case here because
I think Jason Morris were the only guy in the room that I would kind of put in that category.
Yeah. We've seen, I don't know, the number is probably like 15. Caden Curry kicking inside or some three tech work from defensive ends. But that Rushman package is the way that we had come to know it, thinking back to 2017, doesn't feel like it's as much a part of the arsenal. And again, that's not a, I don't mean that as a criticism, because last year's defensive line was very good and they were the number two defense overall in the country. There's nothing that I think is broken about what they chose to do last year. But if you're looking for other things to add, if Larry Johnson feels the need to supplement, if Jim Knowles feels the need to supplement, we've talked about that before, like, is the Jack real or not real? Is the Rushman package an option? We've seen, it could even be with Jack Sawyer. You know, Zach Bourne will be the first to tell you, he thought, boy, he would be an absolute weapon at 275 pounds. Now that adding the weight didn't really work that well for Jack. We saw that kind of take away his effectiveness, but I think there probably could be, and I don't know if should be is the right way to put it, a world where Caden Curry and Kenyatta Jackson are elevating the pass rush statistically in a way that maybe it hasn't happened in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I would maybe throw Mitchell Melton into that discussion too. I don't put a whole lot of stock on a small sample size into things like pass rush win rate, which is hard to say. But Mitchell Melton's was pretty good last year in the little bit that he did play. I got another guy that I thought would play more that did not. Mm-hmm. But I think he can help them in a similar way that you're talking about. And I also wonder too, you know, as we ponder ways that defense could get a little more creative and what the Jack position may or may not be for this defense. Like, if there's a world where maybe only three of the guys in the defensive line room are on the field at a time, and then maybe you can have like a JT's playing like a Cam Hayward kind of position more than he is a defensive end position. Same thing for Jack Sawyer. So there's plenty of options there too. I think there's versatility up front, like we've talked about with basically every other position group we've done on the defense so far. Like, there's guys that are multi-positional, and we'll see if Ohio State takes advantage of that.
It's probably because some idiot on the podcast was saying that they rotated too much.
Yeah, it's your fault.
I'm sorry. I did it. But again, the way they used it last week, I don't really have a way to criticize it.
No, they just play their best players all the time. I think there's a balance between that and not having any strategy seemingly at all that they probably need to strike this year. But I found myself wondering if, like, some of the, I don't even want to call them letdowns, but like the way that Michigan ran the ball at the end of the game, the way that Notre Dame ran the ball in the second half of that game, the way that Missouri was ultimately able to break through and score a couple touchdowns late against Ohio State, like, was any part of that a byproduct of rotating less on the defensive line? Not that the guys who weren't out there on those times shouldn't have been, but could you have stolen them a little more rest, like in the first half of those games, that would have made you a little less susceptible to that? I don't know. I'm not saying that's definitely the case, but I have been thinking about it a little bit.
Yeah, well, those guys at the top, I think they're going to get some reps. A rest, not as many reps, easy for me to say, in about 2 weeks or less than 2 weeks now, as the Buckeyes get out on this practice field in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for 15 workouts. Can't wait for it to be here, and can't wait till we can just stop with spring position previews and actually talk about spring ball. Now, we're almost there. That's Bill Landis. I'm Austin Ward. This has been the Podcast Daily. We'll talk to you later.